Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and if beer is so good, why do we fart?
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this time we're reading The Religion War by Scott Adams, and someone's starting with a beer.
I was starting with a beer. I was looking at the store. I was having a lot of trouble finding one that would really fit the magnitude of the shit heap that this book is. But then this one, like a ray of light, shone itself upon me.
So they had a bucket of piss that you could take.
Bucket of piss. No,
you saw the patterns.
I saw the pattern. The pattern emerged, and this is a new brewery called Electric Brewing Company, or new to us. And this beer is called Chapters of Repugnance.
That's really good.
Because every chapter of this book is fucking repugnant.
Oh my god, that could have been the name of this podcast.
It is a double India hop ale India poop. It's good. It's like all the other ones like this. It's got a little pizzazz to it. It'll help us get through the worthless shit cunt of a book that this is.
Well, first we should explain why we are reading it. Because you know what, Jimmy? Fuck you. This is your fault.
Because much like in this book, there is no God. This was my choice this year for our punishment book. I decided to take it easy on you two after making you do Ulysses. And you know what? I don't think it was much easier.
It was fast, at least.
It was
so
fast.
Every year for Christmas, we give each other a gift of the worst books we could find. And this was Jimmy's gift to us.
I didn't think it would be this bad, but it was.
I definitely learned this week that even short books are long when they suck.
It's like a Zen koan. When is a short book long? It's when Scott Adams wrote it.
And yes, that is Scott Adams, famed creator of Dilbert. And when he's not making Dilbert, he's being a absolute just shit show of a human being in every other aspect of his life. And everyone hates him. And it's because he's a bad person. And he wrote a bunch of other books, some nonfiction, some fiction. Though he said this book is way more like nonfiction, and libraries, I don't know what libraries would have this book, would put this in the nonfiction section because it's so realistic. Once again, he is insane, and that is a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, it's not quite how fiction works, Scott.
Yeah, he's Scott Adams is possibly one of the most narcissistic people alive. If you only know him from Dilbert, you wouldn't really get that. But if you listen to him speak at any other time, you'd be like, oh, actually, this guy sucks ass.
So I won't be as harsh just because it wouldn't be as fun. But not that anyone needs to defend him, but I will say he is incredibly smug.
Yeah.
And he likes to say hot takes that are edgy. And everyone's like, that's just racist. And he's like, but it's true. And you're like, I don't think that's how that works.
He has written in his, I don't know if it's autobiography. I think it might be an autobiography of sorts.
Dildo?
Don't. That every job he didn't get or promotion he didn't get was because black people took it from him.
Yeah, he's pretty popular with people. I wouldn't call them on the control right, but maybe the alt right.
Not the delete right.
Yeah, not the. Yeah. He's helping people shift.
They do want to delete certain people.
Yeah, exactly. Or he's encouraging them to escape.
He's also
the suburbs.
He's alpha prime among atheist neckbeard sections of the internet. You know, believe what you want to believe, or don't believe what you don't want to believe. That's cool. But there are certain people out there who make not believing their belief, and he is their king.
So the book is a sequel, and I'm glad that he says in the very beginning, it's not essential that you first read the other book.
The other book is really just a Socratic dialogue. That's how you know it's good.
Oh, right. another work of fiction from this philosopher guy.
Yes.
So that book was called God's Debris, and then, which is a great name for a band. And then he had leftover thoughts. So this is the debris from God's Debris.
God's Dingleberries.
Oh my God. And it came out in 2004 when he was not known to be crazy. It's really only like COVID when everyone realized that he was making YouTube videos that were like, oh my God, that's the guy who made Dilbert. I think a lot of papers stopped printing Dilbert. Like he's like really fucked up a lot of stuff.
He got well known for being just a piece of shit when he could have just happily retired on his Dilbert money and just shut the fuck up. But no, he felt the world needed to know his opinions, which are, you know, all wrong. But yeah,
it's pretty reprehensible things he says about black people and Trump, basically.
And pretty reprehensible things that he made us read in this book.
No, not Jimmy, like, you made us read them.
Nothing in that book
them.
Is evil. Fuck you. I mean, a lot of it's pretty racist and shitty. But it's so bad, it's offensive. Just from a writing point of view and a plot and ideas and substance point of view.
The punctuation's also bad. But Nate, why don't you read that quote now?
Oh, no. Jimmy has the quote.
Oh, this is his introduction where he talks about why this book would be in the nonfiction section and why people should read it. My target readers for the religion war are bright people with short attention spans, especially lazy students in busy book clubs. I try to avoid tedious descriptions of scenery and clothing. I hope you don't miss them. You can read the whole thing in 3 hours, and it's packed with ideas to mull. While the story is fiction, most booksellers will list the book under nonfiction because its purpose is to highlight the most important, yet most ignored, questions in the world. I list some of these questions in the back of the book, but they won't make complete sense until you finish the story. I call them questions to ponder, and we will ponder those later.
So it's always a good sign when the author's like, yeah, I left out all the writing parts of the book. You know, like the details that people care about. Fuck them. Don't eat them.
This book isn't meat and potatoes. It's just gristle.
Yes. It's what's left on the plate of meat and potatoes that at the end of the meal that the server, the guy, the busboy takes.
He also leaves his AOL email address in the introduction for us to email him back.
Dude, imagine instant messaging Scott Adams in like 2006. It's like, I read your book. It was really important to me.
There are a number of people who think this book is very good on Goodreads, and they don't appear to be lying or joking, and I weep.
So let's talk about the book. I don't know what this... I didn't read God's Debris, and I never will unless it's a punishment book.
God's Debris is the premise that a delivery man shows up to deliver a package to the Avatar.
I've seen this porno.
Yeah. He delivers a package to a man called the Avatar, who is the smartest man in the world. He knows all the truths about life. And through their Socratic dialogue, he convinces the delivery man of the true nature of the world. And that's it. And in this book, the delivery man from the first book is now the Avatar. It takes place later in the future.
And it does take place in the future. It's like 2040.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this takes place in a world where essentially you could tell he wrote this days after 9/11, because he's like, it's a clash of civilizations between Christianity and Islam. And in his like backstory that he provides, it's like a, you know, Muslim guy named Al Z.
He just started typing Al Jazeera and then cut out half the letters.
And that a Muslim leader named Al Z, you know, essentially unites the entire Middle East against the rest
Which
of the world.
Is an impressive feat. Famously getting along, guys, everyone in the Middle East.
Well, they kill a lot of people, but he unites them all from Al to Z, and they're all together. From the river to the Z, they shall...
Well, he is a Palestinian, and he unites them by wiping out Israel.
You know what? I gotta say, them. That might work.
That's the one thing they can't agree on.
That might actually be like, wow, my friend, let us put the Shiite behind us.
Tomorrow will be a sunny day.
But yet, and now in this
future... I could wait to be friends.
I rack my brains to come up with the reason.
When I heard you were here, I ran.
Afghanistan here all day trying to think of a reason.
Have you curd?
No, we don't talk about them.
Stupid. Oh, fuck. All right.
So he's united all the Muslim countries together under the great caliphate.
And there's like, what? It's like 15 million Indonesians. And like, where are we fitting on this? He's like, don't worry. But all the Muslims are united.
50 million.
Yeah, it's the biggest Muslim country.
100. Yeah, I left off as I went.
No, like, Scott Adams doesn't acknowledge that those people even exist. It's just the Middle East is where the Muslims
are. They're not real Muslims.
Yeah, even though they're mostly over there.
Yeah.
But yet, because all of the Middle East has, you know, united together under the Great Caliphate, all of the Christian countries have also united and given all of their power, or at least, and they're all being led by one guy named Cruz. Not Ted Cruz, thank God, but just a guy, just a general who has a plan, who has a secret plan to wipe them all out. So this is in the future where there are battle platforms instead of aircraft carriers, and he has a plan where he's actually just going to exterminate everyone in the Middle East, but this is a secret plan in that everybody thinks there's going to be a war. So like the premise is General Cruz is like, there's going to be a war and I'm ready and I'm, you know, it's not just going to be a war, I'm just going to wipe them out. But yet, right in the beginning, he's like in the headquarters and one of the guards tells him like, oh, hey, there's an old like homeless bum in the lobby. He says he wants to talk to you.
Bum and he's homeless? Wow. It's real bad.
And the general is like, why would I talk to him? I wouldn't want to talk to him. And then they tries to ignore him, and it's like, but then he knows our whole battle plan. That's weird. It's like, well, he's probably just a good guesser. He even knows about the battle platform outside of Washington, D.C., and he's like, what? How did he do that? He must, someone, and there's like, everybody, get to the bunker, or get in the armored limousine and get out of here. And then he blows up his own headquarters building with all the other generals in it because he thinks that one of them is the leaker, has leaked the battle plans. And he's like, I can't let anyone do that.
But he's also like, even if they didn't, by killing them, I can get them out of the way of interfering with my plans and making just this whole war more efficient. And also, his assistant is in the car. An assistant, do you remember why he picked his assistant?
He's a sociopath.
Because when he was 8, he killed his parents with a shotgun.
Because they needed killing.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have feelings anymore.
Yeah, he killed his parents, and in doing so, he, quote, saved his younger brother from an unimaginable fate. It's like, oh, okay, sure. It's like, all right, I'll take this guy who killed his parents and make him my assistant because he'll be good with doing whatever it takes.
Because General Horatio Cruz has completely unchecked power. He's in, you know, he's the leader of Super NATO, and he could do whatever he wants. But it's like that browser that allows you to go to whatever website you want with NATO. So it's like a tornado. Is that what you'd call it? No, no. So it's a terrible joke.
terrible.
So, horrible. But anyway, you know, hold on, I have a fucking beer, and so. Oh. Anyway,
I have a fucking beer too.
He's okay. He's like, these fucking, you know, Muslims are the devil, and I have to kill them all. But they, you know, we can't. Something, I don't know. The social fabric is being rent by these people, and that's the name of this beer. That's a nice double IPA from Finback that we've had before. And it's made with, among other things, 007, because there's some, he thinks there's some spy shit happening. Then what happens, Nate? Please get us back on track. It's important.
Okay, so like General Cruz is the like, he kills all the other guys, all the other generals, and then goes to headquarters too, because they just, you know, have two of those. And then he gets there and it's like, sir, there's a old homeless bum in the lobby. He says he wants to talk to you. He's like, what? Also, How did he not die?
Didn't they also like hit him with their car, or nearly hit him with their car?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They tried to run him over.
He's a bum ninja. He just dodges shit.
He saw the pattern. I think they're going to run me over.
Also, Cruz's those dots. Title changes throughout the book. He's Secretary of War at some point, head of the Christian Alliance, controller of NATO, and he also calls himself High Commander of NATO. So he's got he's wearing many hats.
Well, he does like the Hitler thing or the dictator thing, just accumulating all the titles.
Yes.
And then, or like the consolidating queen. Power under himself. Yeah. He's also Empress of India.
And so they're like, now he's at headquarters too. And they're like, oh, yeah, this homeless bum says he wants to talk to you. It's like, what? And so with this,
he keeps
must
saying we need
important.
To change things.
And so the general is like, okay, you know what? Let him in. You know what? I want to talk to him. If he survived the like missile blast on the headquarters one, then clearly he's got some skills. So bring him in. So he brings him in, and he's and the guy is like, "Hi, my name is the Avatar." Like, what?
The blue one or the guy with the arrow on his head?
And he's like, "I have reached the fifth level of consciousness, and I can see all the patterns, and I'm here to stop the war."
Also, he looks old because knowing this much has taken a toll on its on his body.
Yeah, he looks 90, but he's only 60.
It's like, oh, that's a pretty big difference.
In a book where the guy was like, I didn't put in a lot of details, he put that in, and you're like, oh, of course.
So the Avatar is like, I am going to stop this war by convincing you somehow. First, it's like with this all this like God stuff. But so he said, I'm going to convince you to stop this war because I am, just like every character in this fucking book, I am a mastermind by Fiddlehead. Yeah. This is called Mastermind. Yeah. It is an IPA. Double IPA even.
He's literally a mastermind.
Double, yeah. Including everyone. We've got the general. We've got the Avatar. We've got Al Z. We've got the computer programmer. They're all the fucking mastermind. Everybody in the book.
Master's mind? I don't know how you pluralize that.
He's like postmaster's general.
So anyway, the Avatar is like, he goes in this, I forget exactly what he says.
They put him in an interrogation room.
It was all
room,
of 24
and the guys,
hours ago.
The guy's going to torture him. But instead of being tortured,
he
engages the man in debate. And by being racist, he determines that he convinces the man that he is a genius. You know, you look Irish, so you're probably an alcoholic Catholic, and you know somebody named Patrick. It's like, oh, how did you know all these things?
And so he convinces Patrick that he's the smartest person in the world, and then convinces Patrick to shoot himself.
But can we just talk about some of this book has terrible everything? But it has especially bad dialogue because he tries to do like...
In a book that's a lot of dialogue,
action movie dialogue. And this interrogation scene where the hard Irish-American thug is used to killing people, so he drinks himself to sleep at night. When they're talking about their claims about what is God in what is a philosophical exercise done by fucking morons. He goes, "My claim is you're full of baloney." What the fuck? This guy is a murderer. He says he kills.
He doesn't curse
people,
though.
And he goes, I have my line, my limit. I'll pull your freaking nails out with a plier, but I won't curse. That's against baby Jesus because I'm Irish.
I almost bought sweet baby Jesus for this one.
But like, there's also a part earlier when Waters is like, you should go kill, like, and Cruz's like, should I kill those other generals? I probably should, right? And Waters is like, it's probably fine. But, you know, it's again, I know what you're doing. And he goes, remind me to promote you, and then remind me to put my boot up your ass. Like, dialogue is so, so bad. In what is a Socratic, it's not a dialogue, it's like a pentalogue. There's like five different people that talk. And it's just as shitty as when you take a pentalogue.
So when you poop five times?
Yeah. It's like when your butt turns into a runaway sausage factory just producing and it can't be stopped. So, Nate, what happens?
So he gets out of interrogation and then talks to the general. And the general is like, well, hi, I don't know how you did that.
Oh, do you remember how he did it, Nate?
Nope.
he convinces the interrogator to kill the guard and let the guard kill him so that the Avatar can get to talk to Cruz. He's like, it will give your life meaning. He's like, you're right. So he does it.
The old Irish standoff.
This will be the first of many times in this very short book that he convinces his interrogator to kill the guard and let himself be killed. It happens every time he goes anywhere.
So if he has this like special mind power, the
he's
Avatar
just
has
so
a special
smart.
Like mind power, why doesn't he just use it on the general and Al-Z and just like end
well,
the whole plot?
He's got to get to them first, so, you know.
I mean, they're very smart. These are smart men of action. He can't use it on them. He could only use it on goons.
Also, definitely men, because women can't be this smart.
No, there's only one woman in the book who she is important later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the one woman. Okay, yeah. Forgot about her.
So he's like, listen, you gotta not do a war. Don't do it. And he's like, that's what I do. I'm a warrior. And they are godless heathen because God has ordained me to save the world. And I am, you know, steadfast in my belief in a Christian God.
And he's like, well, you know, if you believe, like, why do you think these other, the Muslims are all doing this? Like, well, they're all brainwashed. Like, if they're brainwashed, how do you know that you're not brainwashed? And you're like, wow, what sixth grader wrote these arguments?
He dresses up, I know you are, but what am I?
All the arguments in this book are like every like internet troll's dumb kid arguments that don't really stand up to anyone who knows what they're talking about. But like in this book, he's the smartest man in the entire world. And in his own life, Scott Adams is.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Avatar is Scott Adams, if we're... If that's not clear, it's him.
Oh, absolutely. He's the mastermind, for sure.
If you go, don't watch a lot, but watch one clip of him talking on his video. And this he talks like this, you know, like asking rhetorical questions and guiding and then providing the answer that's batshit crazy or really warped at least, and to show his wisdom. He presents as a you know, a mastermind. It's a big part of his personality.
In my experience in the creation of world's greatest newspaper comic, Dilbert, I've come across the secret of humanity. It's like, oh, fuck you, Scott.
Yeah. He's like, let us never talk about the time when we had the Dilburrito, which was a real product.
Oh, the Dilburrito that gave everybody like incredible diarrhea.
I don't know what happened with the Dill burrito.
Isn't that every burrito?
No, there was something. I have to look. No, I remember what it was. He wanted to make a burrito that was a complete meal. Like it was like the Soylent kind of food, like food for people who don't like eating but need all their nutrients in one place. But, so he made the Dill burrito, and there was something was wrong with it.
Yes, I found the quote.
Yeah.
From Scott Adams himself.
The mineral fortification was hard to disguise, and because of the veggie and legume content, three bites of the Dill burrito made you fart so hard your intestines formed a tail. The New York Times noted the burrito could have been designed only by a food technologist or by someone who eats lunch without much thought to taste. He wanted to make a hyper-efficient burrito and ended up putting so much fiber in it that you almost shit yourself every time you ate one. And so they did not last very long. I kind of want to eat one.
I kind of do too. I want to try one Dill burrito and just create a, you know, G-force.
43,000% your daily fiber intake. Interesting.
It has 100% of your daily recommended amount of various vitamins.
The nutrition burrito. Oh, I forgot the Dill burrito. Oh, God, it's fucking terrible. Yeah. The guy who made the Dill burrito also made this book about the secrets of... human knowledge.
Dilbert. Somebody has, there must be a, I mean, I wonder if you can get one on.
I mean, it doesn't keep like, you know, Ecto coolers, like those old like drinks and shit. Like you can't eat a 15-year-old burrito, no longer how it's frozen.
You know what? I could it make you more gassy?
It probably just kills you outright.
All the pictures are really...
You fart your heart out of your asshole.
It came in... They had at least two flavors. Indian
and... Indian. Flavor. This is not a flavor.
is
the other one just called Black People.
Dude, if you look up, there's Mexican meatless with salsa is one, but the flavor is just Mexican. Then there's Indian, and then barbecue. Flavors like
this
a
sounds
fuck.
Like the guy who would say all the Muslim countries would unite easily. No, and then no. Everyone else would unite on the other side.
Yeah, because eating a dill burrito is haram.
So, yeah, he gets to talk to Cruz, and they talk for a while, and he's like, hey, you know you want to exterminate all the Muslims, but also I know that Al-Z, famed terrorist, has snuck bioweapons into every major city on Earth that's in the Christian Alliance. And he's like, how could you possibly know that? It's like, because that's what makes the most sense. Like, so you're real good at guessing shit. Yeah. And so that's what the big thing is. So the Avatar wants to stop the war from happening, because if one side attacks the other side, because if Christian Alliance attacks, Al-Z will detonate all the bombs and melt the rest of humanity.
Oh, it's like the Cold War.
Yeah, except it's religion and not capitalism versus communism.
Which, this is where Scott Adams would be like, well, wasn't communism really the religion of the Soviet bloc? And you go, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Really, no, man.
And then
no.
You're like, well, what is religion? But religion is a belief that people share. And you're like, well, I guess. And then he would do that for 15 more minutes, and you'd be like, I guess you're right, Mr. Adams. Gee, you're smart. Like, that's his thing.
Tell me again about Dogbert.
I don't know. I don't like these questions. You're sounding a lot more like the boss guy.
Yeah. One of the criticisms Scott has is you think he's Dilbert, but he ends up actually being the boss, or Dogbert, who I think Dogbert is kind of a fascist in the comics.
Dogbert is evil. Like,
yeah.
There's something wrong with him. Yeah. Oh my God. So I can't remember what happens in what order, but basically then he gets to meet the Avatar, meets Al-Z by finding instantly the right cab
by using
driver. The right cab driver that is a sleeper cell. And he's like, where would you drive me? And the guy is like, see, me muy guapo driver, or whatever
he
says.
Well, he first calls a cab, but he skips the first two cabs, and he picks a third cab. He's like, that one's obviously brown enough to be Mexican, so I'll pick him.
That guy didn't take in our cab, or he's dry. Jobs here. This is ridiculous.
But of course, he's not actually Mexican. He's a Muslim, because he's pretending to be Mexican, because he's talking to Mexicans.
He keeps going, can you drive me to the airport? And he's like, see.
A real Mexican would have learned the word yes by now. It's like, is that the test? Not racist? I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't know who needs to be offended by that besides humanity, but... Eventually, the guy's like, damn it, you got me, because if you ask Muslim sleeper terrorists the right question three times in a row, they admit it.
So they're like cops. If you ask them, they have to say that they are a Muslim sleeper cell.
Admit it. You're a terrorist for Al-Z, and you have chemical weapons. He's like, damn it, how do you know? It's like, I'm the Avatar. I know everything. Now you're going to take me to your boss. And this guy, the whole point of like the sleeper cell organizations that you don't communicate with the boss directly, so you can't be traced, right?
But or with each other. You don't know about the other cells, so if one is caught, then you can't find the other ones.
But like, you would have to imagine on a scale of this big with the 2 billion Muslim army, there's a couple of layers. Yeah. You know, it's like
most people, yeah.
It's like Amway. Like, you have a couple of hubs. Like, you can't. Or nodes.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah, terrorist pyramid scheme. You can't get all the way to the top. It's like, you're telling me those dudes that got, you know, like, not every terrorist on 9/11 knew Bin Laden. They're all like some middlemen.
Well, he just wants this guy to take him to his cell, and that guy's boss will talk to that guy's boss, and that guy's boss will take to that guy's boss.
in the house still, that Jack built.
There's still a, you know, a management hierarchy among the terrorists.
Well, this is the guy that wrote Dilbert, so
yeah,
the business organization.
It's all that corporate hierarchy.
So he gets to the Middle East to like the new secret underground city of Kadom or something like that.
Yeah, it's a made-up city.
You could hear the, you know, the Hollywood Middle Eastern music. Yeah, the trip to Arabia music plays. And, you know, dun, 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 dun.
And so next chapter, beginning of next chapter, he's meeting with Al-Z, the head of the whole Muslim army. And he's like, so you believe that God is on your side, right? And he's like, yeah. And he says, how would you know if you were delusional? Which is one of our discussion questions, but we'll see.
Because the Avatar, his main power is that he's immune to delusion.
Something Scott Adams is not. Jimmy, that song.
What?
How did the music go from the Middle East?
Oh, the Middle East music? Yo, that's every fucking time they go to a Middle Eastern country.
I know. It's really...
It's like they have regular fucking music over there, guys. What the fuck are you guys doing?
Oh, my God. Welcome to Kadum, my friend. That's what you hear. You could see like the screen is wavy with heat.
Yeah, and the Middle East is always like a weirdly bright blue because Mexico is yellow, and the Middle East is kind of bluish.
I can't believe it. That song.
So the Avatar meets with Al-Z, and Al-Z also puts him in interrogation, but he still gets out. And
by making the guy kill himself and someone else.
Delusion. How would you know if you're delusional? Because they're both like, well, General Cruz thinks God is on his side, and you think God is on your side. You can't both be right. Now, how would you know if you're delusional? What you need is a magician.
Oh, God, like,
what does that mean? So then, maybe it was more to that chapter, but I don't care. And then, so the Avatar leaves. And then goes back. But yet then Al-Z is walking through the bazaar, you know, as they have in every Middle Eastern city, definitely.
That's the only way. That's how they buy everything.
The only other place in the Middle East. It's either an underground bunker or a bazaar, right? And so he sees a magician, and the magician is like, I'm going to hide a camel in your bathroom. And he's like, what?
No, he just says, I'm going to make a camel disappear. You'll see it later. And then goes like, where is this camel, my friend? And then he goes, I can't tell you. A magician never tells. And he's like, I do not care. And then he goes home. He's like, I must take a shit. And then he sees
there's
a camel.
The camel.
That smells like wet camel in here. What did I eat? And then...
two dumps.
And then he calls the guards. He's like, guards, there's a camel in here. And they're like, no, we don't see a camel. What did you eat? And then
it was a dill burrito. I had a haram flavored burrito.
I ate halal of it. The dill burrito was discontinued in 2003. This book came out like when
you could have gotten a vintage dill burrito.
When the dill burrito went out of business, Scott Adams was like, what can I do now? I guess I'll go to what I do best, besides making terrible burritos.
Revealing the truth of the universe through fiction.
Non-fiction, Jimmy. Get it right.
Well, he says it is fiction. People will just read it and choose to see it as non-fiction because it's so good. Which is not how you decide that.
And so the Avatar, then he goes back... to Washington. No, goes back to wherever
he
cruises.
He met the hacker guy. Did we talk about that?
He met the hacker before he left. He goes to the Facebook. It's Facebook. It's, you know, the intel,
Facebook,
the
didn't
data
exist
mining.
Yet.
It hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah. I guess he does get social
it's
media.
It's MySpace.
Right? But it's basically the government data mines everything, so they know everything about everybody. And he goes to that place and he's like, let me talk to your angriest employee. And he's like, that's dumb. Get out of here, old guy.
That's pure Scott Adams thinking that the angriest employee is the smart guy.
Yeah, because he's too good for them to fire him, even though he's angry. He's like, that's stupid. But it does work. And he tells the smart guy, like, I bet you couldn't write an algorithm to find the prime influencer, the person who says something and then changes everyone's mind. And they're like,
it's Tom.
I can't do that because that doesn't make sense because that's a stupid idea because nothing works that way. But he's like, I bet you couldn't do it. And he's like, I'll do it anyway because I'm so goddamn good.
I don't believe you.
And then he goes to the Middle East. And then he goes back and he's like, hey, I've got to check on your program. And he's like, it's stupid. Fuck you. And he's like, I bet you can't do it. It's like, oh, I'm so spiteful. I'm going to do it out of spite. Yeah. That's what happens there.
Oh,
and then
man.
He goes to a restaurant and meets a lady.
Before we get there, there was a thing when he's flying to Kadum, which I just remembered is a Q or without a U after it. So, no, it's very exotic. I like when he gets into a debate on the flight because he can't help philosophizing.
I've just got to debate someone. I haven't debated anybody in like 12 minutes, and I've got a debate boner.
And he debates the Frenchman. And
oh, is this the thing about controlling the media?
The banker. Yeah, of course it is. And the Frenchman is like, the Jews come from the media. And he's like, ah, is that true? He just lets that go. He doesn't question that one.
Well, he doesn't question it because he provides, I think, a possibly even more racist depiction of how the media works, which is the Avatar saying, black people control the media's coverage of black issues. Definitely not true. Christian controls the media coverage of Christianity. Gay people control the media's coverage of gay issues. Women control women. Disabled people control the media coverage of disabled people. And, you know, no reporter would dare question these powerful groups like the disabled. But the Jews really just control their own stories. It's like, wow, that's, you know, that's so ignorant a take. I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
It's impressive.
So I guess props to you.
I don't know what he was trying to do there.
He's immune from delusion, so he can see that, you know.
Oh, right. But I like in that same section is when I think this is when you really get a flavor for how the kind of person Scott Adams is. And they're arguing.
The flavor is also found in a Dill burrito.
Oh, it's one of the chief ingredients is flavor. This tastes like denim. It's just
so
old.
Much fiber is made of denim. Yeah,
calcium. But they're arguing about the Holy Land, and the banker, aka the Jew, says, "Let me get this straight. Let's say you have one Muslim and one Jew on television arguing over who should own Jerusalem. The Muslim claims that God gave that land to the Muslims. The Jew says God gave it to the Jews." How the hell does that sort of debate help anything? And this is what the smart man says.
The smartest man in the universe.
In the universe. Yes, thank you. I'm not smart enough to remember that. There is a third view that must be added to the mix whenever the two views are expressed. You must include a scientist who can explain that the notion of location is absurd. What an asshole. It's like the person who's like saying, you know, in the argument, I just feel like Netanyahu's gone farther than he needs to. And I think you mean further. Because it's about degree and not distance. Like, that's the fucking...
And can he really go anywhere when Earth is hurtling through the cosmos at 400,000 miles an hour?
Everywhere he goes, it's a different place than it was before.
We've so he's all not, going further.
Yeah. And farther, actually. Like, that's his level of debate skill. Like, I'm actually gonna totally ignore the issue, and I'm gonna show how smart I am on a dumb thing right now. And some people go, oh, that's wisdom. And it is it?
What the fuck happens next?
So then he meets Stacy at the cafe. The most, yeah. I think the most ridiculous character in the book. Everyone else is a caricature, like, oh, the military guy, the Muslim terrorist guy, the computer nerd. And she's just a restaurateur who has a cafe and yells at her waitstaff. And she says, he goes into the restaurant. He's like, can I buy lunch? And they're like, beat it, bum. And he goes, I would like to pay for food to put in my body holes. And they're like, oh, gross. We don't open till 5. But Stacy is sitting there and she goes, let him in. I'm bored, toots. I want to do something fun. I don't care. I'm just a crazy gal. That's basically what she says. And she starts in between, you know, saying, who are you? I don't care. Fuck you. I'm important. She yells at the chef this sentence, which I don't. This is what to Scott Adams' character development looks like. Have you written down all your recipes so I could fire you anytime I want? Almost. I have a few more to do, said the chef. Very good. Give me a hug. And this pink-haired lady has lunch with the Avatar.
And there she sums up the entire point of the book. But you don't know it at the time, because they're debating whether or not God exists. And she says what you think at the time, wow, what an asinine thing to say.
And you'll think it again later.
Oh, yeah. She says, if God is so smart, why do you fart? And they're like, huh, that's funny. Okay. Little do you know that that will be the basis of the rest of the book.
It's the secret plot twist.
I right smell there. A winner. poop, poop. That is the level of adolescent discourse. Boy religious debate, actually. And why does that happen? So then they eat a meal. And you think, that was a strange episode in this book. And then he cuts back and forth now between all the characters going like, God damn it, how do I figure this out? And how do I find the influencer?
So he goes back to the Middle East and tells LZ,
Albert Z, out. Yeah.
he tells LZ, hey, come with me to Switzerland. And he's like, why would I do that? Oh, because
they're still neutral.
He does.
Yeah.
They are still neutral.
Despite everything.
And then Alzi goes to Switzerland and he walks into the room and General Cruz is there. And so it's General Cruz and Alzi. They're like, they're together and and the Avatar is like, you should play a game of chess and you should make it so that whoever loses has to like give up. You should just essentially do this instead of the whole war.
Even though they all admit that if they could, they would just leave things as they are and not care about the other person's part of the world.
Did you guys notice when they talk about how, you know, the Cruz has been trying to find intelligence and like spying on all of the internet and phones to find Alzi's people and like get clues for their plans. So their plan was like, we just won't write emails. We'll just handwrite stuff on a picture and send that picture in an email. That way all the computers won't be able to see it. And it's like, so his plan is just CAPTCHA.
Yeah. Yeah.
CAPTCHA still doesn't work. Okay, cool.
Yeah. They spent all their money developing battle stations. Platforms.
But they still can't read pictures.
No.
Is this a bicycle? Where's the bioweapon?
Yeah, click on all the motorcycles. And so they like have the like chess game. And then at first they're like, see, you know, we could just, you know, clearly I would just leave you alone if you would just leave me alone. It's like, I don't believe you. Well, if he just doesn't attack, that means he left you alone. Like, no, we can't do it. And so instead, the war comes faster instead of slower. Except, and so now, the next scene is like General Cruz has like launched the full battle.
Well, because Cruz was a child chess prodigy, Nate, and this was something that was a secret. Somehow, this had been wiped from the internet, but the Avatar knew this
because he controls the internet,
and Al-Z knew this, but Al-Z was also apparently a chess wizard. And he wins the game, actually. He beats Cruz in the chess match for all the marbles. Because they're like, sure, let's gamble on it just for fun. And then Cruz loses. And he's like, oh, God damn it, I can't lose to you, Arab. And then he launches the missiles anyway.
Well, they say, you can avoid the whole fight if, Cruz, if you just surrender and just pretend that you're just going to not do the attack. And then that way, you know, Alzi's people won't freak out and they'll all be like, you know, proud, and they'll do their thing and they'll stop attacking anybody because they don't need to, because Alzi controls all terrorism. And Cruz is like, I'm not going to let them do that. I'm very sensitive to my ego. And so he's going to do the missiles and he's going to exterminate 2 billion people. And then there's a driving scene where the Avatar is very good at driving because he knows patterns real well.
I'm pretty sure that don't walk sign flashing means this light's going to change. but there's also just another
example. We skipped in the part in the beginning where he convinces Hector / Ali, the cab driver, that he has superpowers because he predicted a child ran across the street to catch his ball. And he's like, oh, how did you know that? It's like, I'm just that good. Like, surely you are worthy of seeing Al-Z.
It's also somewhere in here. He keeps checking back with Mackie, the computer nerd, who's clearly after McAfee. But
he actually is John McAfee.
He's like, just like, I can't solve this thing. I'm not solving your problem. I have Honduran hookers to fuck.
My neighbor's been really pissing me off lately.
I'm going to kill his dog right now just because I can. But that guy gets, they get into another really stupid debate about, you know, he's like, I can't find the thing you're looking for. It's impossible. And he's like, I know the answer is there. I sense the pattern. And he's like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You're a fucking asshole. Why are you helping? And he's like, eventually, the guy says the sentence, the whole war would be unnecessary if they just woke up and smelled the science. Evolution has been proven 100 times over. You'd think that would be proof enough, because he's saying they don't want you to believe in God. And the smartest man in the universe, the Avatar, goes, aka Scott Adams, evolution has been proven. And he's like, oh, Tucker? For fuck's sake, what? Yeah, exactly, Tucker. And he goes, how do you define evolution in scientific terms? That's the only fucking definition that matters.
This is the one where he says it's not real because time isn't real.
Yes. Like, well, what is an eon?
It's like, dude, are you saying that science is the ultimate answer, but also you don't believe in evolution? Like, I don't really understand where you lie on these things now.
Yeah, he says, the guy goes, do you know, what time is, right? And so according to you, evolution is defined as the gradual change of species over something that doesn't exist. Oh my God, he's trying to like Socratically get your nose. That's what he's trying to do. It is so stupid.
He's the most pedantic fuck I've ever
read. He really is. He's like, I could tell by the way you said it that you said affect, but it's actually effect.
Do you even verb when you mean to adjective? This is where he says that
I could hear the semicolon in that sentence and a period would have done fine.
Evolution is a thing, but humanity has already evolved, split into something, because he says, you know,
white people and black people. Else.
that's what he meant, but yeah. He's like, it has been split already into gullibles and awares, and the awares will be wiped out because the gullibles breed faster.
He had just seen Idiocracy.
Yes. Yeah. Which is, you know, when you think about it, it's pro-eugenics. So.
I mean, it matches with everything else so far.
Yeah. With Scott Adams' other beliefs.
So Cruz launches the war, and then Alzi launches the, like, terrorist attacks that in every city, or at least in some of the cities. So Alzi then... okay, so the Avatar is like, oh, I must have done everything wrong. I felt like I was able to stop this, but apparently I wasn't. But this is the part where he's driving through the city, but he can just predict every, like, piece of like falling brick building and just like drive around it, and just because he's so smart. And then he gets to the headquarters, and he gets there, and Stacy is there for Stacy, the restaurateur he met earlier. She's there. She's like, yeah, I know people, because she serves them lunch and stuff like that. And then General Cruz holds a like press conference. He says, yes, I have. Where he hit select all on the he developed the program to like, you know, pick and choose targets, because he's the general, so he's going to pick and choose targets. But he didn't tell anyone that his actual plan is total extermination. So what he does is he hits select all on the targets and hits enter. And then so all the targets are being wiped out by these automated weapons and long-range missiles and, you know, pilots that don't know actually what they're attacking, even though it's clearly like schools and hospitals and everything. And they're just going to like wipe out everyone in the Middle East. And then General Cruz holds a press conference where he says, yes, I know this is what I'm doing. It's actual, not just a war. It's a total extermination. I'm going to take the blame for it. And then someone says, hey, you're Hitler, and then like shoots at him but misses and actually hits the Avatar instead, who is now and so they bring the Avatar dude to the like hospital wing. The doctor is like, he has no like he's gonna die without a new heart, but he's also brain dead, so like we wouldn't keep him on life support. And Stacy's like, no, that can't be, for reasons that will become clear in a second. And then finally, Lieutenant Waters is like, you know, I'm just going to kill General Cruz because he's clearly a bad guy. So he does. And he says, I've got a heart for you.
And this is when he says he's hurting because he's like thinking so much. He's like, it wasn't quite a headache, more like a brain ache.
Oh my God, he's still wearing his heart cast.
But yet the genius computer programmer has been at work all this time, and he unleashes a... This is like, okay, this is one of the... In Book of Fucking Stupid Things, this was really one of the stupidest things.
I think you mean Deep Things to Ponder, Nate?
The genius computer programmer unleashes a code, unleashes a program he wrote called God, which stands for something, which... essentially unlocks all communication in this world, because in the previous world, you could only call people who were on your list, but now you could just call anyone, and it erased all records, so you could literally call anyone anytime. And this led to, and so everyone could finally call everyone. And Stacy, the restaurateur, says to her husband, hey, if God's so smart, why do we fart? And her husband is like, you know, that's good. Why don't I ask my like priest friend what's going on? And that was the answer that stopped the whole war. Because, and this is according to Scott Adams, because finally everyone could communicate. And this one phrase propagated everywhere in the world, and everyone realized all of a sudden that, hey, wait a minute, religion is bullshit, and we shouldn't kill each other over this. But there's something a little bit different about that. It's not just pure atheism. It's actually slightly different, but which I'll get to in a second. And he's like, people were like, yeah, okay, we'll be religious, but they're just make holidays fun and not a reason to like everyone kill each other. And it's because everyone can now so communicate freely, and it connects all of humanity, and that's what brings peace to the whole world. And it's like, well, yeah, Facebook hadn't really been invented yet. Had he written this just 5 years later, he would have realized how fucking idiotic that is, because Facebook's thing is like, we connect people. Well, he also broke democracy, so like, sorry. Didn't exactly make everybody happy and fun.
But now everyone can read Dilbert.
He just wants to be in syndication. So he, and that's basically the end of the book. Like this thing that stops the war is everyone being able to talk with each other at all times. And now the government just funds the phone companies because This computer program erases all records, so that you can't, nobody, they can't ever send you a bill because they don't know who's talking to who. They just completely, it's like Signal. It's like everything is Signal all the time. That sounds great. And then, yeah, it's the end of the book. And you know, the phrase, because everyone now believes in the phrase, if God's so smart, why do we fart?
Well, there's a very brief little epilogue or something 30 years later. So, but much years and years later, Stacy's old or whatever, and she doesn't even know what happened. But I like this sentence, this phrase or whatever it says. In the time, she came to think that she must have first heard the sentence in some place and forgotten it. She also never knew that as the prime influencer, she caused pink to become the most common hair color for women, or that she was the reason virtually every home now had a pet chicken. So he needed, like, a Forrest Gump character to, like, spread the message, someone who could inadvertently influence everything.
Yeah. I mean, despite this book being egregiously stupid, it's not even internally consistent, because he makes the guy write a program to find the prime influencer, which he does not. He just runs into her at a restaurant. And instead, the guy just breaks down communication. And I guess that leads the prime minister to be able to do stuff. But it's still, like, nothing actually works out the way the smartest man in the world has planned. It just kind of works out by accident.
Well, maybe the patterns are so complicated, even he couldn't see all of them. But he got close enough to effectively see them, you know?
Mm. I mean, what it really came down to is that the other guy killed Cruz.
Yeah. Well, a pattern that really was not obvious, because the guy, I mean, well, actually maybe it was foreshadowed in the beginning when he saved his younger brother from a terrible future. So he saved people from a terrible future with Cruz. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was over, and I was grateful.
But there's still questions to ponder.
Oh, let's do it, man.
And we can't do all of these because...
No, Nate, Jimmy, you have to answer all of them because you picked this book.
This book was meant to punish, and I succeeded. Let's see. Okay. If you suspected you were deluded, how could you find out for sure? You can't, because that's how insanity works.
You add a... How do you undilute something? You had concentrated in some way.
You suck out the moisture from it?
Yeah. Add salt.
Are humans the product of a skilled or an unskilled designer? So that assumes that humans are the product of a designer.
Yeah, what a leading question.
Is he good at it or not?
Oh, it's clear. God is going through drafts, you know? You could look at other monkeys and be like, he was close. Way off on trilobites, but he figured it out.
This one, why would God be so unclear about what book or books he authored? He has claimed to author none of them.
Because he didn't have to claim it, Jimmy. He just did.
But even we know that he didn't author them. Not that one exists, but...
Do we know that? Or did someone tell you that?
So the argument
What is the argument?
There are, like, so many religions. So many different religions. But yet they all think they're the right one. So why is it that if there is a God, that God wouldn't just say... This is it. This is what I believe. This is what you should believe as a person. Why would that be?
I could see that. I'm being Scott Adams level pedantic, where those religions do not claim that God authored any of those books.
Well, no. I mean, God made it very clear in 1823 when he presented the golden tablets to Joseph Smith in upstate New York.
Yeah, that's this is the one I wrote. Actually authored.
I wrote those.
All the other ones were all fan fiction about me. <That's>, this God extended universe shit.
Yeah, that's a good question when you're 12. How could any of them be right? That's what faith is, dummy.
Is consciousness anything more than a continual process of imagining, acting, observing the impact of the action, and imagining again with new information? What?
Did he ask, is this a question for ChatGPT? Like, what?
What the fuck is this?
Is eating anything more than a process of biting, chewing, masticating, tasting, and then swallowing and biting again? Is shitting a process anything more than sitting, praying, sweating, excreting,
crying,
grunting,
how many
opening a window.
Did you eat? If you had a Dill burrito,
of course.
You don't need to pray. You just have to accept death.
You have to pray you get to the toilet in time. Dill burrito.
There's a dookie coming out of my shorts.
I got to take off my shoes to make room for the dookie. I like question 8 because it's truly terribly... we're not supposed to say retarded anymore, but really it is. Could atheists and believers accept the same definition of God?
No.
No. It's a fucking stupid question.
I don't know. 6 and 7 are also pretty abysmally stupid. Well, 6 is just Scott Adams smug, which is the dictionary defines faith as belief without evidence. It defines stupidity as unreasoned thinking. Is belief without evidence a form of unreasoned thinking?
That's teenage boy atheism arguments. That's what that is.
Yeah. That's dumb. That's dumb. And he's dumb.
That's like the same person who's like, well, one definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results.
No, so, it's not. That's something people made up and people keep saying. It's no definition
also,
of insanity.
That is not the definition of stupidity, the one that he's got there. I mean, he defined it that way intentionally to be like...
It probably means like one who can hear but not speak, or like one of those old-timey levels of child development.
Like an imbecile, moron, stupid.
No, it's just a lack of good sense or judgment.
Isn't that the same as faith?
What was 7?
I really love 7, though.
The movie, it's great. Yeah.
Nate, can the impact of your actions rippling into the future be considered an immortal soul?
No.
No one would think that. That's an insane thing to think.
The answer is no.
That's a stupid thing to think, or as he would say, a faith thing to think.
I mean, I could kind of see what he's going for. I think he wants you to discuss this, right? He mentioned book clubs in the beginning of the introduction.
Yeah.
That you're going to go, well, what does it mean to be immortal? You know, and is if people remember you or are influenced by you, doesn't that count? And you're like, yeah, but you know what they mean.
I can hear him taking his finger out of his Dill burrito infested asshole and smelling it.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Ooh, that one's a Mexican.
I don't remember eating Indian flavored Dill burritos, but here we are.
What flavor is this? India? Of course, yes.
And
flavor of India.
And the other flavor was garlic and herb. That's just really fucking funny. That was a Mexican, Indian, garlic and herb. Because they don't have garlic or herbs in Mexican or Indian cuisine.
No, famously herbless.
But he does something else at a certain point. He gets into the debate with somebody and he's like, what is God? And they're like, you fucking know what we mean. And he goes, but couldn't you say that everything is God? It's like, well, if you cheat and you redefine the thing to make it so vague or so irrefutable, then yeah, you look really smart.
He even uses the same, like, first there was order, and then there was chaos.
Oh, yeah.
That Jordan Peterson uses. He did not define chaos as feminine, though, or as female. So at least he's got that.
But he did define it as Satan.
Yeah, he said first he's talking about the beginning of the universe.
There was a speck.
Clearly the Big Bang. There was a speck, and then there was a second speck, and the first speck was God, and the second speck was Satan.
Wait, is that what he calls the Mexican Dill burritos? I think he pronounced it differently, Jimmy.
Yeah, he did. They took his jobs.
But he does the same thing that Jordan Peterson does when you're like, well, there was order and then there was chaos. And then you just start fucking Tale of Two Cities-ing it.
everything you like is order and everything you don't like is chaos.
Yeah.
And therefore,
it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was the time of this, it was the time of that. And you just start sorting out all of the things that come in pairs.
So you know? He would say that black people are chaos.
I mean, I've seen the videos on Twitter, Jimmy. Scott Adams has reposted them, or on Mastodon, or whatever the fuck
he is. And he just keeps writing, see?
Don't you get it yet? He did get in trouble, like, last year, maybe? For saying something like, black people are a hate group. Something crazy. Like, white people move away. And then everyone's like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, that's not what I meant. If you're smart, you'll know
what I
said.
That was such a dog bird thing to say, I'm sorry.
In a 2017 interview, Adams said that his books on religion, not Dilbert, would be his ultimate legacy.
Yes, he does believe that these works of philosophy will be what future generations remember him for his great knowledge. He's the Kant of his day. And yes,
Immanuel Kant,
I did
yeah.
not say Kant.
Either that or the Jean Jackoff Rousseau.
Do you feel adequately punished?
You know what? This was much more fun than Ulysses.
It was.
It was fun to discuss because it was fun to read. Just so objectively bad.
It was pretty bad. But yet Wind in the Willows was worse.
Yeah, I didn't mind reading this because, like, oh my god, how stupid is this shit? And it moved. Wind in the Willows was really quite stagnant.
Because this was bad. Okay, so there's two kinds of bad. There's bad as in just boring and stupid, and then there's bad as in, oh my god, how could you say that kind of thing? But at least you have like a reaction to it rather than just boring and stupid.
Yeah, when it's bad, like, what's wrong with you? That's entertaining in its own way. When it's boring, it's just like, it's just torturous, which is why Ulysses was so bad. Because I had no idea what was happening.
Also, it was
for 600
way
pages.
Longer.
Oh, yeah.
This was shit it out in a day kind of thing. And you would shit it out in a day if you ate a Dilberito. You would shit everything out in a day.
So it is the Dilberito of books, for sure.
It's too much for one person, and it will cause you anal suffering.
I think the winner this year, we haven't done the third book yet, but it's going to be, I forget, because Nate and I cheated, and we conspired this year. We did. Whoever put the second Jordan Peterson book, that's going to be the worst one.
I think that was you, Mike.
Well, we both agreed to do books one and two of his 400 Rules for Life series.
Yep.
The first one, though, was before he went full crazy. The second one, he was pretty nuts. So that will probably be worse.
He's so far up his own ass, he's achieved fourth dimension anus.
Yeah, the fourth dimension is Heine.
Heine?
Heine, yeah, that's what I was going for. Because I actually, even without having read that book, 12 Rules for Life was worse than this.
That was, it was also much longer.
It was so long and so dumb.
I took it easy on you guys because Ulysses was so long. I figured I'd pick a really short one. This was short, but it packed so much just
fudge.
Just worthless bullshit into such a small amount. It was had the density of a neutron star.
Or of 1.5 Dilberitos.
That's too dense.
I mean, the core of a Dilberito was pure cadmium, so they're used in nuclear reactors. So.
That's farts coming out of the reactor, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nuclear farts. I would not recommend this book to anybody.
No.
Except my enemies.
No. I wouldn't recommend this to... I don't know why anyone would want to read this book, unless you were just a real asshole.
I don't know what he's... I actually... Here, real question. What was his point?
His point is that he is a genius and religion is stupid.
Yet, okay, so, okay, on his Wikipedia page, or more like the Wikipedia page where it talks about this book, Adams has written books in various other areas, including the pandeistic spiritual novella, God's Debris, and of course this is one of those too, And it defines pandeistic as a theological doctrine that combines aspects of pantheism and aspects of deism. What is that, you might ask? Yeah. Unlike classical deism, which holds that creator deity does not interfere with the universe after its creation, pandeism holds that such an entity became the universe and ceased to exist at, and then the pop-up won't go farther than that, so I'm just going to leave it there.
I mean, it sounds a little bit like pandeism, though.
Pandy's nuts.
Pandy's nuts, yeah. Of course.
I feel like, because there were several passages where Scott Adams, also known as the Avatar, is like, well, the fine-tuning of the universe shows us that God is real. And like everyone believes that. Like, there's nothing in the book that isn't like God is not real. All the things in the book are like, well, the thing where it's like Christians versus Muslims, that's stupid. But he still thinks that, or at least from this only one thing I've ever read from him, I feel like he's saying, well, God is real. It's just the religions fighting each other is the dumb part. And so that's kind of actually what he means. But yet the whole idea of, you know, if God is so smart, why do we fart? Isn't that an argument for atheism?
Or at least not a personal God.
Complicated. I think that he might be a hero to neckbeard atheists. I don't know if he's as atheist as them, but he definitely thinks that all religions are stupid. And
he he praised Donald Trump a lot, but he also praised AOC.
He believes in anyone who can convince people of things, or what he believes convinces people of things. Because Donald Trump doesn't actually convince almost anybody. He wrote a book on how Donald Trump is a master negotiator. He is not. So whatever Scott Adams sees in these people, he's a debate kid. All he is a fucking debate kid who got up his own ass, and he believes in the power of debate.
I like debate. I think debate's a good thing. This is not what debate is.
This is what Scott Adams says debate is.
Well, him and Vivek Ramaswamy was also a big debater who got up his own ass.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not 100% on Scott Adams' beliefs, other than the fact that he hates black people. And
that was hyperbole, Jimmy. He doesn't hate black people. He just isn't a fan.
He thinks they should stay in their place, which is beneath him.
No, what he said was he said white people should get the fuck away from black people. That's what he said. Which is what he does every time he's on a train, I'm sure.
He hasn't taken a train in decades.
No. But when he sees one on the street, he crosses.
One of them might touch him.
Yeah. But if it's a homeless bum, it might be the Avatar. So this is bad, Jimmy. Thank you very much for at least making it short this year.
No, I think we had some fun here today, at least.
We did. I can't wait till they find our podcast and ruin our lives, these fucking Scott Adams fans. It's going to be great.
I just don't understand who the fuck is a Scott Adams fan at this point. They are terminally online, whoever they are.
Yeah.
They're probably all Twitter blue users.
Dude, I think I'm going to delete Twitter from my phone. I can't use it anymore. I've seen like 8 videos today of people dying. It's like why is this on? Why am I being recommended? I mean, I watched one, so you get recommended 8 more. It's really a terrible place. I really hate it.
No one needs Twitter anymore. I think the Scott Adams people and the Elon Musk people is a significant overlap.
Well, it's certainly in the guru worshiping element of them, for sure.
Yeah,
like this guy's so smart, he's got answers. But I have to say, to defend the good Mr. Musk, he made some companies. This guy made Dilbert. I can't drive my electric Dilbert car.
He was involved in several companies that were made. His input was at some point good, but he definitely gets a lot of credit he does not deserve.
Yeah, he's pulling a little Edison, you know, taking credit for what the people beneath him did. But Scott Adams made the Dilburrito.
I mean, the world's greatest invention is what I'm hearing.
I mean, the Dilburrito
is the most efficient meal you could ever eat. If you eat, you will shit immediately. That's efficiency.
We wouldn't need electric cars. There'd be no Teslas. if you ran your car on a Dilburrito because it had the nutrient density of a dying star, and it could just
you run the car on your farts. They're still gas powered.
It's all methane.
It's a it's like a as close as we can get to perpetual motion.
Just like a shit conveyor belt.
I love that Gwar album. So, any other things to say about this flaming pile of dog shit?
Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Don't follow us on Twitter. We don't post anything there anymore. but go to patreon.com. Support us there. Patreon.com is drunkguysbookclub.
And we're also on Facebook and Instagram. But no one cares about Facebook anymore either. People like Instagram. We put a picture there that Nate makes, and they're very pretty. And we laugh at them.
Can't wait to see what you do for this one.
Oh, yeah. Is it Dilbert getting a fucking beer can shoved up his anus?
Can it be Dilbert flying a beer into the World Trade Center? Can it be that? I'm sorry, Dogbert. Dogbert flying it.
Yeah, that's definitely a Dogbert move.
I'll see what I can do. And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.